up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
If I love you,
wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
The world
if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it.
We gotta change
just
it.
You and me.
We've been beat.
Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking times. We're thinking ahead, celebrating Black history. Say it loud, I'm Black and I'm proud. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world. And I'm just so happy and glad you chose to tune in to bring back the family, focusing on the youth. That's our focus, the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay? All right. But first, we want to acknowledge God's word and with the scripture and prayer. And we have with us Darius Freeman and Malachi Freeman, our two kings. And they're going to do scripture and prayer. Are you with me, Darius and Malachi?
Yes, hello.
Hello, hello. Thanks for being with us this evening. Or oh, afternoon. Take it away. Give us that good old scripture word.
Hello, my name is Darius Freeman. With me is Malachi Freeman. He'll be saying the prayer. And this evening or this afternoon, we'll be opening up the Bring Back the Family. And today's reading will be coming from Psalms chapter 78, verses 1 through 8. I repeat, Psalms chapter 78, verses 1 through 8. Here's the reading. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation will know them, even the children yet to be born. And they turn and would tell their children. Then they will put their trust in God and will not forget his deeds, but will keep his commands. They will not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word.
Okay. Let us pray. Lord God, we enter your presence with hearts of thanksgiving for who you are and all you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for Blog Talk Radio and the avenue of bringing back the family. God, we pray that you will use us and this venue to help us learn how we really can bring back the family, that is, in a manner that you mean for families to operate. Lord God, please let bringing back the family provide a way to help your children do what it is for you having to do. We are your children. Please help our parents to give us what is needed to make it in this world. And, Lord, we know that the thing we need the most is more of you. Father God, you have ordained that bringing back the family concentrates on you. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are older, they will not depart from you, then opposite is surely true. So we start this discussion sober-minded, that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping. And so we ask your blessing this afternoon to all who will speak on and to them that are listening. Let your glory come forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, King Darius and Malachi. We appreciate you. Those are our young folk giving us a scripture and prayer. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. You have to teach them to reach them. Okay. Everybody that's participating, our guests in the show today, would you just press 1, and that'll let me know that you are there. I see some of them already, so just press 1, okay? Okay, so bring back the family. Focus on the youth and what they need to be able to make it in this world so that they can be good, productive citizens and be able to take care of self and family one day. And our job is to give them the direction, the support, and the tools that they need to make it, okay? You know, wherever we go, we always talk about the youth. All around this world, people are talking about the youth and what they're doing and what they're not doing, some good and some bad. So, and so if we want to see change, if we want to see change, we have to be the ones to help them. I want to know, like today, how many of you have your young people listening into this show today? A show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth so that they can be the best that they can be, okay, educationally, professionally, okay, so that they can be able to go out and do what they need to do. They can be good, you know, productive citizens professionally, educationally, and in our communities and around the world. They want to be able to put them out there so that they can go out and compete, okay? And so we've been having it's been very powerful this whole month celebrating Black History and all the professionals and all of that we've heard that has been empowering to our youth. So are your youth listening? Are you spending that family time with your youth listening to Bring Back the Family, okay? Pull them away from those video games, you know, and have family time. Do they know that they can be the inventors of those video games and not always the consumers? They can make them. They can create them, you know. So instead of us always being the consumers, let us be the creators of some of those things that we keep our attention all the time, okay? Hey, we're going to have a great show today, celebrating Black History and just more positive, powerful guest lineup today. You know, some people, we don't talk about business, entrepreneurship. We don't always want to just be the consumers. We buy everything, you know. So there's so many things in this world that we use, and we got great minds for inventions. We've done so many great things, you know. And I was just thinking that, you know, some people, they are just not meant to work for an employer or for other people. So they become their own employer and their own employee. They work for a company, for their own company, as well as run it. You know, they work in it. And so today we have a good lineup of business men and entrepreneurs that's going to talk to us about their businesses and things that they could tell us that our kids can listen to. I just hope they're listening because we got to, you know, we're all in this thing together, okay? We are all in this thing together, and it's up to us to want to make things better for our youth, you know, if we want to see things better, if we want to see each other prosper and do great things in this world, you know. Somebody put some time in with the professionals that we're going to talk to today. So the time that you put in is going to be the time that you get out of it, you know. What you want to see is what you have to put in. Are you investing in your youth, in your kids, you know? So that they can be able to give back, you know. Because if you teach them nothing, you give them, don't give them anything to work for or give back for, we don't show them how to give. We don't show them how to care. Don't even expect to get anything, okay? And so that's what Bring Back the Family is about. It's just an awareness of what we need to do for our youth and our children so that they can become good, productive citizens, you know. Excuse my earphones are falling out. Okay. And so, like I said, some people are just not meant to work for one another. And so we have some entrepreneurs and business people that we have with us. They've been making history, and they are being good role models and good examples for our youth. You know, we're reminded that, you know, someone is always watching us. And with that, they can learn. So the kids are watching us. They're watching us in everything that we do. So when we have these professionals that we have today, someone's watching you. And like I said, somebody put something in these individuals that made them be able to go further in their life, further in their education. And so the first person we're going to talk to is Mr. Andrew. Oh, wait a minute. Let me open up your mic. Okay. One second. Okay. Let me open up you guys' mic. We have a line up here today. And the mic's open. We have Mr. Andrew Beaver. And he's a real estate investor, venture capitalist. And I know that he, for one, that don't enjoy working for anybody. He likes to work for himself. He wrote a book. I'm sorry, Andrew. I cannot remember the name of the book, but I did read it. tell us what the name of that book is, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Aunt Kat. So, like she mentioned, my name is Andrew Beaver. I wrote a book called Unspoken Game. So, essentially, what I do and what the book is about is money management. So, I wrote this book about my journey from being $60,000 in debt to now being debt-free with a six-figure net worth, and I lay out step-by-step how I got there. So, essentially, my whole journey is about that, and even to this day, I wrote that book about 2 years ago, and ever since then, the cycle just continues. I'm debt-free. Now I'm working on leveraging debt to multiply my income. But it's all about how do I manage my money from when I have no money and I have debt to I'm starting to make money through jobs, side hustles, or entrepreneurship, and then how do I take that money I've made to multiply it into bigger and better investments.
All right. Okay, yeah, and I read that book, and it's such a good book. And I said, you know, sometimes you have to go and work for somebody before you be able to venture out into your own business. And is that what you had to do, Andrew, before you ventured out?
Yeah, definitely. I worked as a CPA, so I worked at Deloitte & Touche for 3 years before moving on to another internal audit position. And essentially nowadays I'm actually leveraging that skill set to make double or triple what I would have made if I was working for my previous company.
Oh, wow. Sounds beautiful. So what is, you do real estate investment and venture capitalist. So talk to us about that.
Right, so the venture capital is the lane that I'm kind of focusing in on now, whereas I'm finding opportunities based on what I've built in the past, and I'm taking money that I've either raised from my community and I've given them interest, as in I'm paying them to use their money, and then I'm taking that capital and putting it towards different investment opportunities, specifically real estate. So what I currently do, I actually have a duplex that me and my partner built where I found him. He presented the real estate deal to me, and I put up I raised $54,000 from my network. I paid everyone 15% on their money, and then I bought the land, he managed the project, and now 12 months later, we have a duplex that we're renting out both sides, and my investors made $9,000 in total on that $54,000 they lent me. So that's really just me, you know, being a venture capitalist, seeing the opportunity to make some money and leveraging the money I've raised and the, my own money to fund that deal.
Okay. And how did you get into that?
Honestly, I just realized what the banks were doing. Understanding that that's mm-hmm. essentially what banks are doing nowadays, where if we wanted a loan from them, they're going to charge us 5 to 7% to get that money, while they're only giving us 1% of our own money. So instead of going to a bank and going through that process of them denying me because of whatever factors, I decided, well, how about I just give this interest to the people around me and then keep the money on this end. And as far as the real estate goes, that's been about a four-year journey. I actually talk about that part in my book where I simply knew nothing about real estate, but I knew people who were into real estate, and I had a friend from high school who was doing it. So I'm like, hey, you're making things happen. I was just open and honest. I'm like, can I tag along? Can I somehow get involved in your opportunities? And all he said was, sure, give me a $5,000 loan, or I think maybe $10,000 loan, and mm-hmm. I'll give you money on top of it. So that was my introduction into this world of lending from my end, and ever since then I've kind of just been expanding from that.
Wow. You've been busy, and see, with all of that you're doing, you've been afforded to be able to travel and do, you know, just have a good time and be busy. I mean, everywhere you go. What is it that you could tell the young people, or the parents, that they could tell their young people that want to be able to get into some of these things? How were you able to do what you've done all these years?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing I would say, there's two areas, but the number one thing that has gotten me to where I am now is being open to networking and meeting people who you want to be like. So, for example, I would say about 90% of the money that I've made over the last 3 years have all been presented to me from networking opportunities. My duplex was a networking opportunity where I met a guy on Facebook and he had a deal. I invested in a business, a small business in Boston, and that was one of my friends who knew that I was interested in this area, and they were like, hey, you should go check this woman out. And that made me a lot of money. So it's really just like finding whatever area that we're passionate about and going and finding people in your network or close to you, even if they're not, just like say, hey, you look like the person I want to be when I'm older. Can you teach me how to do it or show me how to do it? And that might get turned down a whole bunch of times, but it only takes that one or two people to say yes, and then your journey started.
Wow. So anybody could do it. Did you go to college? So you went to college. What was your journey
yep.
as far as that? How did you get to college? What happened? Were you just a smart kid? Did somebody push you? Did you have a parent that, you know, made sure that you had what you needed to make it as far as your education?
Yeah, so I definitely had I was fortunate. My mom's a teacher, so she definitely, you know, focused on the school stuff. I made it work with school. School isn't my favorite. I'll be honest, I'm the first person to promote against school with how debt is nowadays, but it was definitely a good experience. My main focus with going to school was just simply to play football. I played Division II football at Saginaw Valley, and I was just trying to make it to the NFL. And school was like a stepping stone mm-hmm. to get there. So I'm more of the mindset of, okay, is this something I got to do to get to what I want? I'll do it, you know, and whatever that is. And at that time, it was go to school, go to class, make sure I maintain my grades, and that's just what I did. But school, in my opinion, which is obviously just an opinion, but school is just a great tool to meet new people and to network. The debt that you come out of it, mm-hmm. the skill set, whatever degree you get. It could be useful depending on what the career is, but if you go in there with a mindset of, like, who can I meet, who can I connect with, you're going to come out with way more opportunities simply off of who you meet.
Networking. Okay. So, but school did, going to school is a good thing. So some people think that when you go to school just to get a job. You don't always have to go to school to get a job. You could go to school and do as such, get a business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that they tell students that or kids that, you know, and I think that's important, you know. School, like you said, is a good tool and a start, and you can, you know, expand and do a business versus just working for someone. Yeah, getting a degree and
yeah.
Work for someone.
But it's ultimately just like anything nowadays where, you can go to school. You can even go to school to be a doctor. But if you're not, you know, taking
mm-hmm.
the steps or putting the action behind it, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're going to be a doctor or to get an art degree. Like, whatever you're actually doing process-wise and steps-wise is what's going to make a person successful. And just showing up isn't necessarily enough. It's just a step one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are very busy there. You even do coaching as well. You said you wanted to go to the NFL, and you were very close. So what happened with that? Because you were good. Yes, you were.
I'm thankful. Yeah, I'm definitely thankful for the journey. Obviously, the NFL is a 1% type situation, and we
mm-hmm.
could obviously peg all different types of things, like didn't work hard enough, opportunity didn't present it, X, Y, and Z. But
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it just wasn't really meant for me to go down that route. And
mm-hmm.
I think the kind of course I'm on now with taking what I've learned, taking where I've had my challenges and just sharing it with the youth now, just as my passion,
mm-hmm.
is just what I'm going to, you know, stick with when it comes to sports and football.
Mm-hmm. And is it Facebook or YouTube? And,
oh, yeah. So I'm on Facebook, Instagram, right, primarily Instagram. So if anyone's on and they want to, like, follow my journey, get tapped in on some opportunities to invest, Unspoken Game is the name of my book. The book's also on Amazon or my website, unspokengame.com. So definitely can find it if you can just remember. Unspoken Game is pretty much talking about things that we weren't taught growing up and what we need to kind of thrive financially.
Mm-hmm. And it was an easy read. Yes, it was. And it was so good. I just could not put it down. I'm so proud of you and all of the just everything that you've done. you come home and you spend time with family, then you'd be off gone again. And that's what we want for our kids. We want them to be able to just come, say hello, spend some time, and get lost, and go do what you do,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, so that's a great thing, and we love to see you traveling all over the world and just doing, you know, doing positive things, being a good community citizen, a good world traveler citizen, so, you know, we're proud of you for all that you've done. Yes, sir.
This
is my nephew. His name is Andrew Beaver, and you can get that book, Unspoken Game, at unspokengame.com, and follow you on, say it again, you know I'm old, I can't remember anything.
Instagram.
Okay. Yeah, he does a little modeling, too. He's a handsome young man, tall, dark, and handsome. Yes, sir. You do a little modeling. Tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, I think it's just kind of full circle with me leaving my job and kind of trying to find my, you know, what I'm passionate about, what I want to do for myself. And it was just one of my goals in 2020 to, like, give it a shot. And, you know, I'm giving it a little taste, a little shot. So just trying to figure out what I enjoy. mm-hmm.
Looks like you're enjoying it all. You are. You have a good time. And listen, parents, this is a dream come true. Don't you want to see your young person be all that they could be? Now, that's a well-rounded young man right there. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Okay. Well, anything else you want to leave us with, St. Andrew? That's what I call him, St. Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't address it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Definitely want to just address mm-hmm. the point of, like, I believe once we get our money management intact, like down pat, money will grow a lot easier. And when I say money management, like figuring out mm-hmm. what we're doing to make the money, after we make it, what are we doing to keep the money? And once we're keeping that money that we've made, how are we multiplying it? That's, if we can figure out that formula, then our money is going to grow. Even if it's $5 a week we're saving or $10 a week we're investing, starting small and just like mm-hmm. keeping that thought process consistent, and you'll realize mm-hmm. you'll be in that 1% of people who just have enough money to do whatever they want.
Okay. So saving money.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I know we talked about you coming here one time doing a seminar for the youth. So I still want that to happen. So
we'll make it happen.
Find
yeah.
time and when you find time and when we're ready, we're gonna look for you and bring you here to talk to the youth. Okay.
Sounds great to me.
All right. Well, say anything else you want to share. Stay on. You might have some people that want to ask the question. Okay. They might want to ask the question. So hang on in there, okay?
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, St. Andrew. All right.
No
problem. Here we go. Mr. McFaul, are you ready? Mr. John McFaul, you are on. I know that you're an entrepreneur, businessman, guru, okay, and have done a lot of businesses and have a lot of knowledge about business. Are you with us? And then we'll come back to you, Mr. John McFaul.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
All right. I think I came out the womb with a business license in my hand.
Okay. Talk to us about
but
that.
But I always had a desire to work for myself, to know who I am, to figure out how this world works in terms of commerce. And I just took off, you know. A lot of it was I took a chance. And the other time was trying to figure out what the people want and provide that need to the people. So I've done that so well on so many different occasions. You know, I remember when my kids was born. They were real young. And the thought of asking the principal, can I check on my kids? It bothered me. I said, the only way I'm going to get around this is to be self-sufficient. I'm my own business, so I don't have to ask anybody for permission to go visit my kids at school. So in order to do that, I did the requirements, you know, got a business license, tax ID, looked at different locations, checked out rent prices, look at how much cash I was working with, how much can I invest in that and not hurt the household. But it all worked out, and I just thank God it did. But these young people can do exactly what I did. You can sit down, come pregnant with an idea in your stomach, and give birth to it. Nothing is stopping you but you. I think that's so important. You know, I was listening to Andrew, you know, he found his avenue and ran with it. That's a beautiful thing. You know, it gives you a level of freedom, too. You know, that level of freedom is awesome because you know that you have the ability to earn for yourself. My dad, you know, a lot of this comes from my dad. He was the business guy. I mean, from the very beginning, he had ice cream companies, paint companies, hot tamale companies. Anything he could do to earn money, he did it. He did it. And what was magnetic about him is his customer service skill. He made everybody feel wanted. He made everybody feel like they was getting the deal. And he was just good to people. And I saw that. And so I realized at an early age, people can spend their money anywhere. They don't have to spend it with you. But if you treat people nice, make them smile, sell a quality product, they'll come back to you. So I think that's important. I saw my brother, Kenny, did the Avis Rent-A-Car thing. He had a lot of them same traits, you know, so that was important. You don't always have to work for somebody, you know. You may need the initial income to proceed, and after you get what you want, just move off pace and make it happen. You know, I see a lot of the downfalls I see with people, they don't have the proper paperwork. You know, if you're in business, they're going to ask for a business license. You know, if you're in business, they're going to ask for a tax ID number. There's some basic things you need to start your business. You know, you need to surround yourself with good, godly people. All right, that's what you need to do. Because if they're not in your corner, they're going to be against you. They're going to bring you more problems than you can ever imagine. So,
I know you had a shoe business. Well, yeah, I know you had a shoe business. Why did you decide to start a shoe company, a shoe business?
Well, that's the one thing people going to always buy. They're going to always buy shoes. Kids grow fast. You know, you figure from the time the kid was born until the time the kid is one or two, look how many pairs of shoes they went to. That was a no-brainer. Women would buy shoes for her kids before she buy for herself. A husband would buy shoes for his wife and his kids before he buy from himself. Think about it. When kids go to school, they need back-to-school shoes. They need gym shoes. They need church shoes. And they need house shoes. That's a lot of money spending on these kids' shoes. And I wanted to be in the middle of it. So it worked out perfect.
Mm-hmm. So what was your motivation? What made you want to go into business? And
speak up a little louder.
What was your motivation? What was your motivating factor? What made you?
What was my motivation?
Mm-hmm.
Just walking around, looking at the ground, going to the playground. My kids was young. I saw how much I was spending on shoes on them. I said, look at all these clients out here. I got to be a part of this, you know. With the girls, you got to buy the little prissy shoes. Then you have to buy, you know, the gym shoes. Then you have to buy the school shoes. Then you have to buy shoes for special holidays, you know. So it's like a nonstop. So that's where my motivation came from. And I wanted to show the kids that they didn't have to work for people. I want to show them that. And I would take them to the warehouse with me so they can see that the shoes that Daddy was buying wasn't free. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
So they learn at a young age, nothing is free. You know what I mean?
And I know you was one that don't like to work for others. But you did hold a job at a time, and a profession. And you know, you went to school and all that. Whereas Andrew said, school is like a tool. So what is it as far as you that you can tell the youth as far as school and education, and how important is that as far as for what you want to do?
Well, that became a framework. You know what I mean? You know, there's a certain structure you need to understand how the things you do work. And so at school, it gave me that foundation, you know, how to set it up. And at school, you're around those teachers and other professional people, you know, they're teaching you how to go. You'll learn how to talk, you know. You just learn the language you need to operate in the world you want to operate in.
Okay.
Hello?
Uh-huh. And I know you said customer service and all of that is important. And so that's important that we teach our kids, you know, with your profession as far as that socialization and teaching your kids to be social, because a lot of times our kids are not that social and we have to teach them, you know, those skills. What do you have to say?
Right, you gotta be nice to people. You gotta be courteous.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta look people in the eyes when you talk to them. You know, you need the right language, no profanity.
Mm-hmm.
And the customers can read through that. They know if you've been taught.
Mm-hmm. So what about business, working, and family time?
Repeat that again.
Having a business, working a job, and family.
It's a balance in that. You explain to the kids that you need to make money because the car note need to be paid, the house note need to be paid, the clothes need to be paid, all that. But you explain that to the kids.
Well, you know, sometimes we get caught up in our jobs working and we don't have time for family. So what is it that we can do or that you experience as far as having an education and being able to work a job and, you know, make your own decisions about how you're going to spend time with family?
I think it's a question of priority. I think a lot of people's priorities are screwed up. You know, the job is just a job. They'll fire you when they get ready to. And I think that's important to understand. Use your education, not to work, to create work for yourself. And that's critical that people understand that. You look at this COVID time, look how many people got fired. Half of them don't even want to go back.
Mm.
You know? So they let you know their family is more important than your family. It should never be that way. It should never be that way.
Fine. Good deal. So what is it else that you could tell us as far as the parents that they can help their youth if they want to decide to go into business, be an entrepreneur, what is it that you could tell them? I know you spoke about working in corporate America and how some people they just work the nine, they didn't work the weekends because weekends were for their family. And then some people had to work the weekends.
Right. I think parents need to watch their kids. You can see the skill set early on if you pay attention to them. If you see your kids taking pictures or writing or designing stuff, that's something you need to pay attention to because you can nourish mm-hmm. that. They can watch you, and you can encourage them. You don't know where it's going to take them. That's something you have to do. Hold on for a minute.
So if anybody wants to ask questions, and at the end of, you know, all our panel, and if you want to talk about your business, shout out your business, tell us something about your business, press 1 and feel free to tell us, you know, what you have going on, because it's a lot of black businesses that are coming up. That's up and coming. It's time for the transfer of wealth. It's happening right before our eyes, and it's time for us to get in there and just, you know, fit in where we're supposed to fit in. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
The opportunity is definitely open up.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Some of the things you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Some of the things that we used to have to worry about, we don't have to worry about anymore. For example, we don't have to worry about marketing. We can market it over social media, for example. You know. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys can make their own business cards. There's a lot of stuff we don't have to depend on people for. We could do it ourselves, you know. And that's what parents, even if the parent don't know a lot about computers and you see your kid on them, ask them what they're doing. They may be starting a business you don't even know. Maybe you can see them and help them along. So, you know, the things we used to have to worry about, we don't anymore. We don't have to worry about getting on TV. You know, the opportunity exists. You know, just a click up. Sometimes you can use your iPhone, you know, or your Samsung phone and create a small video for your website. Or you can do a podcast or introduce people to your product and take that way. So there's many avenues that's open that we didn't have to worry about. And I tell these young kids, take advantage. Figure out what's on your mind. Figure out what you want to do and do it. You know, it ain't mm-hmm. your mom's fault. It's not your dad's fault. It's you. And you listen to people like Andrew. He's a young guy, you know, but he understood. He wanted to know about money. He wanted to know about being a venture capitalist. He wanted to know about the real estate market. And he went for it. You know, in 5-10 years, he'd be able to distribute a lot of money amongst the black community. But the black community got to be ready for him. You know, if you mm-hmm. go to Andrew and say, I need $10,000, you better tell them why you want it. They're not into losing money. They're into creating wealth. See, that's things that people need to think about. But sometimes it could be a motivation like having too many kids. If having too many kids, it's going to slow you down. You know, the regular job is only going to pay you so much. You know, they're not going to make you a millionaire. Mm-hmm. This is enough just to eat and buy a couple of things. But if you, the networking piece is important because no one person knows everything. And there's always somebody who knows more than you. So I think it's important to align yourself with individuals that want something. Align yourself with individuals that understand money. Align yourself with people who understand the value of networking. It's about alignment. You know, you sit back and say, who's doing what I want to do? Just get on the internet and Google them, you know. Google them and put your city there, right? And they'll pop up some names. You can introduce yourself. That's why it's critical to have a web page. You got to have a presence where people can find you, to know that you exist, to know that you're a real individual. It doesn't take that long to put an informational page with your picture and what you do, and they can get back with you, and that's how I can start. You know, be careful, pray about it, and keep moving.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. John Mack. That's some good information. And just hold on. Someone might want to ask some questions, and just stay tuned.
Yeah, I'll stay here. You got a question, I'm ready.
Okay.
Anybody.
All right. Okay. All right. Now we have, we're going to talk about financial services with Ms. Jacqueline Vandergriff. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Ms. Jackie. Yes, welcome to Bring Back the Family.
Yes, hi, how are you? First, I would like to thank you.
How are you?
You're good, Sister Clyburn. Thank you for inviting me to the panel. And you know, Sister Clyburn, when you first asked me to attend, when you were first putting this together for Black History Month, and I told you that at that time I couldn't because I was recovering from COVID, and I had a problem at that time with thought process and delivery. You know, but I accepted because a teammate of mine said, you can do this. And so I tried every avenue to make today perfect. And as I was going through my preparation, I could hear our First Lady, Coach First Lady, saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So standing before you and everybody that's on today, trusting in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, my goal today is to talk to you about covering yourself and ask you two questions. Number one, do you keep your options open for opportunity? You know, that's important today because you have to have a mindset saying that I'm willing to learn. The second thing, do you keep your options open for savings? I was listening as the conversations that, you know, with our company, we do offer the vehicle to teach you how money works. And so after the call, I ask people to text me, either option one or option two, and you might be interested in both. So at the end, I'll give out my phone number, and you can text me, and I will set up an appointment and answer all of your questions. But my question to most people is this: how prepared are you for the unknown? Now, you know, we are faced with what we're faced with in society today. So if you had to make a choice to buy medication or pay your bills, which one would you choose? Because sometimes the medication is a life-saving avenue for you. So what if your medication costs you $2,400 a month, $1,800 a month? Or it could be $600 a month. This happened to me. Thank God for family, friends, and unexpected checks coming in my bank account based on work that I did a few years ago. Help me get through this, because the average person on their job, you are only an employee as long as you're active. An inactive employee, your benefits are dwindles down, and most people don't know that. So the next question I have for the listening audience, do you want the next 8 years to be like your last 8 years? And if not, how would you change the next 8 years? This is food for thought, because now as we talk about it, James 2 and 14, faith without works is dead. Well, you can pray for something, and you can have faith that it's going to forge. But if you don't put behind it, as the last speakers were talking, some action, your work is dead. So Proverbs 13 and 22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. The verse keeps our life goals intact, our visions, and our legacy front and center. And when we're choosing how to use our money today. Now, I was listening to something Will Smith said, work ethics. Well, while the other guy is sleeping, he said he is working. So let's look at this. If the breadwinner passed, what effect would it have on the family, on the children, grandchildren's parents, grandparents? How long could you manage the same lifestyle? Now, I'm speaking about long-term effects, that child being able to go to school, that child being able to continue their outside activity, that mother being able to keep the home that they thought they had built together, or to maintain that same lifestyle. What would you have to cut back on? And the big question, is it fair? Is it fair to the wife, the husband, the mother, the father of children, the sisters, the brothers? The thing I want to say is, let's set up a plan. And I say to you, text me at 313-467-6503. If you have any questions, if you're interested in the option, I will be able to set an appointment with you, and we can address those issues. Kathy? Hello?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. Sorry, yes, ma'am, I'm here. I was on mute. Yeah, are you still there? Okay. You
I'm
me?
Here.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. That was great. Families sometimes don't see, you know, these things as important. And then we have to, you know, make an arrangement for your final final days or whatever. Then we have to spend time taking up collections, doing the, I can't think of that, GoFundMe thing.
Nope.
I don't know where that comes from, why people don't think that we're not supposed to, you know, just leave something behind for the next generation, you know, teach them about finances so that they will know what to do with what's being left behind. We just have to kind of change that mindset. And I mean, those are the things that I want us to do, bring back the family, just start informing our, you know, making sure our kids know what they're supposed to do, how to handle money, how to handle finances, how to make sure the next generation is going to be able to live and be able to leave the next generation. So just like the Ford family do, they just keep leaving money and leaving what they need for the next generation on and on and on for years to come. And so you think we'll ever get like that? I know a person that I was talking to him about insurance. I said, you got grandchildren, you have a daughter, you have a son, you know. You don't want to leave them something and just, you know, so that they can be able to, you know, they shouldn't have to be responsible for putting you away and things like that. And they was like, well, I'm not going to let nobody live off of me. And I was like, wow, that's some crazy thinking. So that's my pastor said, some thinking.
You are so right, and it's the mindset. Mm-hmm. And one of the things mm-hmm. is if you just leaving your family with something, but to teach them how to make it work for them and to have mm-hmm. something the rest of their life. Because when a person look at it, you want to make sure that you have 10% to live off of every year with what your income will be missing, what will be missing. So when you give them something, you want to be able to educate them on how to make sure that they have covered that household. And mm-hmm. so they won't, we can't control debt, but we can mm-hmm. control the economical debt and mm-hmm. make sure loved ones are covered. And that's what we teach people, how money works, because that's something that the biggest secret that has been kept from us from generation to generation. I believe it was Beyonce's husband said that if you buy something, be it, if you don't buy it unless you can buy it twice. In essence, what he was saying is, it's okay to look good. It's okay to buy fine things. But if you can't afford to buy it twice, save the same amount of money that you have spent out there for the street, you can't afford it. It's education, what we teach our children, because, yes, we all make money, but what vehicle are you using? Have you learned what vehicle, where to put your money to make your money multiply?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Andrew was saying, money management. And, you know, we have to look at money different, you know, as a people. Start to look at money different and start to, like you said, find out where that money is going and how is it going to regenerate back into your community. And so those are things that we have to learn and that we have to teach the next generation, or else we'll just be going, you know, doing the same thing that we've been doing. So I just see this as something that's going to happen for us one day, soon.
You know what?
Because that's what bringing back the family is about. Mm-hmm.
Right, we teach the rule of 72, and that's the rule you divide your interest by 72. That tells you how long it takes your money to double. That could be in a good way or a bad. You know, credit cards use the same financial tool as well. When a person buys a house, they buy that house over times before they pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rule of 72 is calculating that interest rate. But we take one step at a time, show what you're doing today, sharing information with people is very valuable. It is a cornerstone for our communities to have people like you that want to step out and do the things like you do. To step out and let people every, and you've been doing it for a little while, but every time you come on, you have a new person have signed up. Well, guess what? That new person is going to share it with somebody else. And before long, your voice will be over the syndicate because you're doing good things.
Good deal. We got good people doing good things, and I just love to hear what other people are doing. We are a productive, you know, smart, creative people, and so it's time for us. Time for us to, you know, take our mark, take our stand, and make things better for us and for the next generation. Mm-hmm. I know this pandemic caught everybody off guard. And we see a lot of death around us, you know, all the time, you know, and it just makes you think. And so,
well, you know what? We are able to
make us think.
Mm-hmm. We're able to do what we do on Zoom. So that means that even if you cannot go to that person's home and sit down with them, you can sit down and you can sit right on your computer and you can actually see that individual. It doesn't matter. They don't have to be in the state of Michigan. We can cover the whole state of the whole United States.
Okay. And it's important. Okay. It's important to have insurance. So like I said, the Ford family, you know, they're not worried about anything for some years and years, years and years to come. And that's how it should be with our children. You know, we should want them to have the best of everything in life. And we should want to give them a start, you know. But we need to be able to take care of business and show them how to take care of business. You can't just give them money and just give them something and just say, oh, free for all, have a party. We have to show them how to save. We have to show them how to invest. We have to show them what's important. All right. So anything that you want to leave with us as far as the young people that we can do as parents for our youth, and hopefully the young people are listening too so that they know that these are things that you're going to have to do when you get of age.
Well, you know what? I say to people that sometimes your younger generation might not understand, but we have to step up and cover them and show them how important it is to be covered. We have to set an example for them. And it might not be for everybody, but it should be because that's one thing we do know. And it was a little article that I read this morning, and it was about something about who makes it has no need for it, who buy it has no use for it, who use it can neither see it or feel it. And they said, what is it? Now, you know for a fact, whoever makes the coffin, the one that's making it has to be alive making it. The one that died is a weak one. And the one that used it is too late to get started. So the point is that we have to be effective. How are you going to leave your name and your legacy? How are people going to remember you? Because it's important that we put our loved ones first and say, hey, I'm going to follow the word and leave something as a legacy for my loved ones, my children, my children's children. And they are all your children. So be a stand-up person and say, hey, let me help my young people. Let me get them straight. Let me show them and put something together for them. Let me teach them how to save. Well, you know what? I'm going to give you a birthday gift. I'm going to teach you how to plant the seed and save some money for the future. So that's what I want to leave with people. But remember, my number is 313-467-6500. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. That is Jacqueline Vandegrift with Financial Services. Like she said, 313-467-6503. You can also contact me if you want to get in touch with her. Check the website, bringbackthefamilybbtfus.com. Okay? All right. We have next up is Dion Patillo, attorney at law. Hello, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. You've been traveling all over the world. You know, it's kind of hard to catch up with you, but that's good. You're busy. You did what you had to do. You went to school. You went through that journey that you went through. It seemed like you did it really easy because it was like you were done with that, like, real quick. And so now you're up and running and being productive, a good productive citizen. You know, your parents don't have to worry about you out there doing your thing. And your dad, he gave us a good rundown on you on the last show. He really represented you well and spoke of you very good as far as what you did to get where you are today as an attorney. So tell us about Dion Patillo.
Okay,
and what we need to know about law, you know, yeah,
okay,
about business, because law, being an attorney is a business.
Yeah, it is. It's mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm.
You have to mix the two, the legal part and running the business aspect of it. So basically, I've always wanted to be an attorney. That's the only thing that I ever wanted to do. I have three children. We moved to North Carolina for me to go to law school. And then when I finished, I came back to Michigan. And I didn't really want to work for the firms because you don't learn a whole lot. They pretty much stick you in one area, and that's pretty much what you do at that firm. So I kind of branched off on my own. It was tough the first year, not that bad, but it was a little tough the first year. But by the second year, I learned that I really didn't even need to advertise because I had more clients than really what I knew what to do with. So I had to figure out ways to manage all that because it's just me. I have sometimes my kids will answer the business phone, but they're somewhat lazy, so that doesn't always work out the best. But I just had to find ways to manage. I had to reduce my hours from, you know, talking to clients on the weekends and in evenings. I had to stop that. I had to just Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And, you know, people still call and text late at night all weekend long, and I just have to force myself not to respond and to wait until, you know, the next business day between 9 and 5. I think that the importance of our community and the legal world is that the majority of the time, my clients always have a story of what their cousin told them or what their mom, not what another lawyer told them, but what, and then a lot of people want to argue with me about what the law really is, but the law in their head is coming from other individuals that may have been in the same situation. But we all know that people tell us what they want us to know. So you can't really take legal advice from someone in the same situation but had a different outcome. That's not legal advice. That's just somebody probably not even fully understanding their own situation, right? And so they don't even always know. A lot of people don't even know what we do behind the scenes. Like I have clients that will call and they want an update. There are no updates between the court hearings. And if there are, my license and what I do requires me to contact you. So that's the first important thing is getting legal advice from an actual attorney. Don't rely on legal advice from a cousin or a mother. You can't because they aren't lawyers and they don't know how it works. Secondly, the most important thing is if you do, you know, you do have an attorney and they're advising you and you don't hear from them, it doesn't mean they aren't working on your case. I do more work behind the scenes than what I actually have to do in court. We're usually in court maybe 5 to 10 minutes, but behind the scenes, I've spent 3 days or, you know, 12 hours on this case. So a lot of people see it as the 5 or 10 minutes in court, but they don't understand what goes on, you know, behind the scenes. For example, I have a client now, I'm out of town. They don't see me driving the 3 hours to get here. They don't see me going to meet, like I went and met with the prosecutor for about 2 hours on Friday. They don't see that. So then they also have an issue with the retainer. You know, it's just a lot of things that people don't understand the way that this works. And you're not going to get update every day. I literally have some clients text me every day, every other day, asking for, there are no updates because the updates come after we go to court. And then, you know, the really important thing, too, is to listen. You know, it's not, I also give legal advice with Legal Aid, and the majority of the people that call in, they want to argue about what the law is or that doesn't make any sense. The law is not based in common sense at all. It couldn't be further from the truth that these statutes are enacted by people who have never been in the trenches, number one. A lot of them write the law. Some of them have never even, you know, been in court representing people. So the laws are, they're poorly written, you know, in my opinion. So we have to dissect them, and then one judge may interpret the law different from another. So that's why you can't rely on a family member or a friend telling you what happened in their case. Could have been a different county, different judge. You know, for example, I'm in Berrien County right now. They do things, it's the same state, same law. They do things totally different. So I have to figure that part out and then give legal advice. And it's like I'm different, though. When people argue with me about what the law is or should be, I tend to hang up because that's not what you called me for. You called me to give legal advice. I'm not going to argue what this statute says and what may happen before this judge. You know, I don't have a lot of time on my hands to do that. So you either take the advice and move forward with that, or we can disconnect the call. I don't like to be harsh like that, but it's very hard arguing with someone who's never set foot in a law school or hasn't even read the law that I'm talking about.
That's funny. It's like, baby,
I am my father's child.
Okay. I'm laughing at the part where people just don't listen. And I know we as people, we are very hard-headed, and we do think we know everything. And it's like you call this attorney to get some advice, and you telling them their job or their business. No, that don't sound right, you know. So that was funny to me. Because
my point is, if you know the law and you know how it's going to work in front of the judge, and you want to tell the judge this or that, then what did you call me for? Just move forward with what you think you should be doing, which probably isn't going to go
work.
And the thing, even with legal aid, that's so a lot of people. And another thing, when you call an attorney and it's free legal advice, get out a pad of paper and take notes. There is no way you're going to remember what that attorney told you. There's no way. And then some people, they'll call back, and then they'll tell me, well, no one gave me legal advice. It's in the notes that you got plenty of legal advice. Did you take notes? Well, no, I couldn't find a pen. So I'll read the advice again. But it's like you can't, if you're going to represent yourself in court, if you haven't taken notes, what are you going to say before the judge? And judges don't even give attorneys a lot of time to talk. So if you're improper, which means representing yourself, you know they aren't giving you a lot of time to talk because nothing that you're saying is based in the law. The judges can't do anything with that. So a lot of people get upset. The judge didn't listen to me. He cut me off because what you were arguing, he can't rule on. He can't do anything. Like, you know, for people that pay child support, they get upset and they want to file a motion to reduce the support, and their reasoning is because the other parent won't go to work. That's not a reason based in the law to reduce the support. Then they get put in a situation where the support increases because they're making more than the last time the child support calculation was done. And so they kind of screw themselves, and then they call back, like, how can I get this lowered again? You can't. You can't. You should have, you know, probably listened the first time. If this, the other parent, if child support hasn't been looked at in 4 or 5 years, and the only reason you want to reduce it is because you want the mom or the dad to go to work, the court can't force them to do that, unfortunately, especially if it's the custodial parent. The court is not, they're not going to do that. They'll do that for the payer, but they won't do it for the payee. So I literally just had a client that got mad at me. He wanted to reduce the support because mom collects Social Security and won't go to work. That's not a reason. So he wanted the motion filed, and it got denied. And his support went up drastically because he's making about $30,000 more than when that first child support order was determined. So you got to be careful when you don't listen and you think that these reasons are going to help you in court. There, usually they will not. There's different ways that you go about things like that. Get more overnight. Try to get more overnights with the children. The support will go down from that. It's just, it's different things that you could do for that. But you do, you really have to listen and take notes, because that, most of the legal information is not readily available. Google is not, that's not legal advice at all. Yeah, Google won't help you at all, because a lot of times, a lot of people don't seem to understand that people write what's on Google. Those are their websites and different things. Those are not the sites of lawyers. The sites that are run by attorneys and law firms are usually really vague on what the law is, because they know people don't, they're not going to really understand it anyway. They just tell you what certain rights are, and that's about it. But the actual statute, the case law, that's, you have to pay to get the case law. And then the statutes are so convoluted. Like, you'll have a statute that is four to 10 lines long, and there's no period. That's all one sentence. You couldn't even imagine how long it takes us to break that down and to try to figure out what the legislator was trying to do with this statute. And then a lot of times, doesn't even make sense. So for a person to call me and say, I'm well versed in the law, and I, the first thing I say is, oh, you went to law school or you're a lawyer? No. They just read stuff on Google. That's not well versed in the law at all.
I'm sure it is not. Okay, that's why they have attorneys that go to school for a long time and learn what it is that they need to learn to be able to do what they do.
Right, so, and then a lot of people, you know, they do talk about the cost, but the majority of attorneys, like for me, I don't charge for consultations. And if it's just a child support or something like that, I'm not charging for a consultation. Now, if it's something that I have to do legal research on, and the person is okay with paying a couple dollars for me to go do that, that's fine. But I don't charge for consultations for stuff that I already know. It doesn't make any sense to me to do that. I don't know if I'll change that years down the line, but it doesn't. Usually if I'm in the car, that's the best time to get me, because I'm in the car and I'm not at home. I'm not doing anything else. I gave legal advice all the way here, you know, for couple of different people. So sometimes if you go on, I know it's mishbar.org, that's mishbar.org, and just run down the list of attorneys and just call them. If they're sitting in the office doing nothing, most of the time they'll give you the legal advice for free.
Okay. All right. So what made you want to be an attorney? Is this a good field for our young people to go into? I think that we need more, more. Everybody needs an attorney in their family, really. Tell the parents and the listeners, the kids that are listening, you know, what it takes, that they can do something like this. That,
well, I don't,
and what's,
really
know, you
know, what?
Their journey.
Okay, yeah, I don't really know what fueled me, but I've wanted to be an attorney since I was 7 or 8 years old. And I say it had to be God, because I didn't even fully understand what that was when I was that young, but I remember 7 or 8. That's all I ever wanted to do. That was the only thing. Now, when you first start school, like college, you have to do 4 years. You have to have a bachelor's degree to get into law school. Some people will tell you you do not. I don't know what school they went to. That is not true. But some people claim that they got into law school with a 2-year degree. They're not being honest. The requirement in every state is a bachelor's degree. Once you get that bachelor's degree, you can go straight on to law school. I do know, though, some schools, it doesn't even matter what that bachelor's degree is in. People say pre-law, there is no pre-law. There's a program for pre-law courses you can take, but everything that you learn under that bachelor's is not going to help you in law school at all. Everything that I learned in terms of if I took a little criminal law class, it was summed up in 1 day in law school, if that, maybe an hour. That whatever your bachelor's in, get it in packaging, get something quick. Some schools now offer a quick online accelerated program to get a bachelor's in a couple years, maybe 3 years. The law schools will take those as long as it's a bachelor's degree. It cannot be 60 credits towards. I've heard all type of ridiculous stories. Just don't listen to those. So once you get the bachelor's degree, law school is 3 years. Yeah, don't listen to that. But it's 3 years. It's really 2.5 if you go full time. I started off part time, but it was so hard. I said, there's no way I can do this for 5 years. So I switched to full time, and it's not easy at all. You literally get one grade per class. You get one exam. So you can spend 14 weeks in a class, and if you don't pass the exam, you have to repeat the entire class. It's very cutthroat. They grade on a curve. Nobody actually passes the exam. The exams are usually maybe 200 points, and the person that gets the most points will get the A, and then it'll kind of trickle down from there. So thank God they grade on a curve, or nobody would graduate. So the highest could be 80 points out of the 200. And then, so if you got 60 points, you could potentially still end up with a B or a C. You want to try to keep the GPA up, but to me, I didn't go work at the big firms. I started my own law firm. So I don't know if these bigger firms ask for actual GPA or your degree. The majority of the attorneys that I have worked with outside of my firm, they didn't even care what law school I went to. The only thing they were concerned with was, did I have a P number, which is the number you get, and that's it. That was all they wanted to know. They didn't care about the GPA. I've never been asked for my GPA. I've only been asked what law school did I go to when I was waiting on a deposition to start. But I would imagine if you want to work at the bigger firms, then, yeah, the GPA may be important, maybe the prestigiousness of the school you went to. But I've been doing this now since March 2018, and I've never been asked about my school or GPA for no attorney or firm that I did go and associate with for a little while. So, you know, you want to keep your GPA over a 2.0. If it drops under that, you get kicked out anyway. So you definitely want to keep it over a 2.0. But I know people in law school that had a 3.5 that aren't practicing and aren't doing anything. And then I know people that had graduated with a 2.1 and have very successful law firms. So don't put, you know, get in and get out. That's my advice. Just get in, do the reading. The reading is the hardest part. The first week of law school, when we got the syllabus, I thought it was, I don't know what I was thinking, but when I read the syllabuses closer, we were reading anywhere between 500 and 800 pages a week, and you had to read it because the professors do cold calling. So you're in a classroom with maybe 80 to 100 people, and the professor will call on you. Some professors call on you the whole hour. You have to be able to brief the cases that you read. If you aren't able to, well, one story I have, one of our professors was from New York. She was a prosecutor, and she would walk up to you if you didn't read. She would call you stupid, and she would tell you that you didn't have what it takes to be an attorney, and she would kick you out the class and give you a zero for the day. So it's very cutthroat, the majority of the gray hair that I have. It's all of it started in law school. So it's not, it was even people in law school that were 24 that had more gray hair than me. It's just, the stress is just, it's unrealistic. And then the bar exam is even worse. So you get multiple choice. I think it's 250 or 600 of those. And then you got the essays per, you know, your state. Your state test is those essays. You get a passage that might be a page or two long. And then you only have 20 minutes per essay. So you're taking 10 to 15 to read this long passage, and then you only have maybe 5 to 8 minutes to write. So I tell people, if being a lawyer is something that you've always wanted to do, then you have a fire in you that's going to push you through all of this. If you just want to be a lawyer because you're exploring different career paths, or it could work out, but it probably won't, because the fire, the fuel that you have, that's what's going to get you through, not the fact that you're looking for a different career choice, or you don't learn the law in law school. And even people that have gone to law school that have never practiced, they still can't give legal advice. They don't know it. We learn old law. In law school, I learned laws from the 18th. You really learn the base. You learn how these laws started and why the legislatures make certain laws within a particular state, but you don't learn the new law. New law is not tested for at least 5 years on the bar exam. So it's not even, I mean, it's a benefit to go to law school, but you still won't know the law. You don't learn how to be a lawyer until you practice.
Okay. I know I used to take kids down to the courtrooms and let them just see how they wrangled over your life, you know, and everybody had a job to do, had something that they were supposed to do. You had your prosecutor, you had your defense attorney, you had, you know, your judge, you know, and they would just sit there and look, you know, and hoping that they would, you know, look at that and maybe not get in trouble, and or decide that they want to be the judge or the attorneys or, you know, whatever, the court reporter. So I know with this COVID thing, but were they doing that still before the COVID thing, or I think the courts are closed right now.
You mean doing the Zoom? Or?
Well, yeah, that's what they're doing now. They're doing the Zoom. But like I said, we used to take kids down there for that. But were they doing it before this COVID thing happened? Were they still allowing people to bring kids in?
A lot of schools would have field trips. You could, because my daughter had one, and it just so happened that the court that she had to go to was a court that one of my attorney friend's clients' name got called, and they issued a warrant. So I called my attorney friend, and I told him, they issued a warrant for your client. So he called his client. She came in, and I was able to represent that person in front of the class for the field trip. So, yeah, they were doing that prior to COVID. And I think now you can watch all the courts that are still closed, that are having hearings remotely. You can watch those on YouTube. They're not the easiest to find. Some of the more shady courts they don't post the recording. The court rule is that they're supposed to. That's what the Michigan Supreme Court put out. But some of your more shady courts are not doing that. But for 36th District, 3rd Circuit, you can find those on YouTube and watch those, you know, so you can see how the proceedings go. Zoom, you can't, because Zoom, they only pull in the parties on the case. But if you go to most of the court's websites, on the side, it'll say join Zoom. And next to that, it'll say YouTube or something like that, where you can actually watch the proceedings.
Wow, that is cool. That is really good. So parents and kids, if you hear that, you can still go in and parents, you could, you know, do that for your kids, and maybe they'll become attorneys and they'll get to see what goes on in the courtroom. So they're still doing it, just doing it through Zoom. So that's just equally as good. It's just like watching television, but it's the real deal. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And some courts.
That is good.
And out here, they're open in Berrien County. I don't know what they, you know, why, but they're completely open for all their hearings. You can request,
mm-hmm.
because the Michigan Supreme Court said that you can't force the attorneys to come in. They still have the right to be heard via Zoom during the pandemic. But some judges kind of, you get in trouble if you don't let them know at least 2 days before. So it is kind of a mess with that right now, because my schedule is bad, because some of my hearings are Zoom and then some are in person. So it wasn't like it was before where I could have four hearings in one morning all via Zoom. Now I have to let the court know I can't do that because I have a hearing like in Port Huron. I can't appear for them in person and you on Zoom at 9 because I got to leave my house at like 6:45, so I won't be available. So
mm-hmm.
some of the judges aren't taken too well to that, but my thing is you guys are, you know, this you guys doing this. Some courts, in my opinion, Zoom works better, especially for like elderly people, really young people
mm-hmm.
that don't really, you know, understand how to even get to the right courtroom, but they can get on Zoom. You have some people that are, and it's sad right now, some people are wheelchair bound and you got all these evictions and they can't get to court. And so they're getting evicted because they can't even make it to court. But, you know, for the courts that don't have it on Zoom, it's just it's convenient, but it's still messy for other people.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good to know. And that's good because I used to just, you know, you want to be able to do some things for the kids and the youth, you know, like I said, take them into those courtrooms. Now they can see that. And I used to show them, see, they're wrangling over your life. They're making decisions for your life that, you know, you were given to make these decisions for yourself, but they're wrangling over it, you know. And so that gives them something to think about, you know, when they, if they want to be on the part of the, you know, the bad part of the law or the good part of the law, or being all in the system as far as being the judge or the attorneys or, you know, the court reporter that plays all those different roles and parts. Just like TV. Okay, everybody. If you want to shout out your business, I want you to press 1 so we can know what you're doing out there. We got a lot of businesses propping up, black businesses. It's, you know, the wealth and money is changing. It's transferring. You know, the wealth is transferring, and it's time for us to get it, you know. And, yeah. It's time for our kids to be doing some, I mean, they've been doing good things. It's time for them to do great things and go over and beyond what they've been doing. And we're going to help them in all the ways that we can. Thank you, Ms. Dion Patillo, attorney. How can they reach you?
You can reach me at 313-971-2700. And text, if you text me, you'll get probably almost an immediate response. Calling, it's hard for me to really call back, but I'll text and set up a time to talk.
Okay.
And just
yes,
I just
313.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Okay. 313-971-2700.
Mm-hmm.
And two final things I just wanted to mention. If people do get into any type of trouble, when the officer asks to search your car or your person, say no. They may still do it, but for appellate purposes, it's called consent. A lot of people say yeah and then later say I didn't want them. It doesn't matter. Consent is an exception to the warrant requirement. I don't care how hard it feels. If it doesn't fit, say no to all searches and don't say anything. I have a client who told the officers that the drugs they found were for personal use, and now he has to submit to drug testing, and he's pretty upset about that because it gets expensive and it's interfering with his job. So you have to watch what you say to these officers, and you do not have to let them search. Even if they do it, that is actually going to get the case probably kicked out anyway, because you can't violate the search and seizure of the Fourth Amendment. So a lot of people say it's scary when you're actually in that situation. It doesn't matter. It's scarier mm-hmm. when you're in jail, because you let them search voluntarily and you told them all these different things and you think the officers are your friends. They are not. So I just wanted to say that in closing.
That's some good information. So if they ask you to search your vehicle, you can say no.
You can say no.
No. No. Okay. So what if they, I mean, I see them searching a lot. So did they get permission or can they just search anyway if they feel like they have a reason?
It could be either.
No
or.
Means
so
no.
Yeah, if you see them searching, the person might have gave consent or no. So the only way that they're really able to search your car is if they pulled you mm-hmm. over thinking that you just bought drugs or just sold drugs. Now, then you can still say no, but they're going to search anyway, right? But mm-hmm. some people don't understand that if they pull you over for driving on suspended or you turned right at the, you know, you turned right on a red and you weren't supposed to, or you don't have car insurance. Those are not reasons to search your car. Officers will tell people that I can search your car because you don't have a driver's license. The fruit of whatever mm-hmm. they're looking for or the crime has to be able to be found in the car. That's what gives them the right to search incident to like a lawful arrest. But if you get pulled over for running a red light, they can't find the fruit of that in your car. So you can tell them no. If it's anything civil, even criminal, you still tell them no, because then if it does go up to the Court of Appeals, they'll say, well, your mm-hmm. client gave consent. So you can't, it won't go anywhere. You just say no to everything and don't talk at all.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell the officers anything, nothing.
Wow. That's for you to speak for them.
Right, and that's what I tell them. You know, you let your lawyer talk, but once you tell the officer the story or what happened or this, it's in the police report and it goes to the prosecutor.
Okay, good deal. You know, I think a lot of us probably don't even feel the need that we're supposed to have an attorney, you know, and we don't know these little small intricate things that we should know. So, yeah, that's why it's important to listen to your attorney. And like you said, well, just get an attorney if you come in, you know, contact with something like that. Yeah, it's important to have an attorney because you can't really fight for yourself. Good information.
And some people feel because they haven't done anything wrong that they can talk to the
mm-hmm.
officers. That's not true either, because the officers will twist your story. That's not true either. You still got to be quiet. Whether
okay.
you feel you're innocent or not, don't say anything.
Good deal. We're going to have you on again because that's some good information. We need. There's a whole lot more that we need to know as citizens.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, thank you. We're going to have you come on again in the near future.
Okay.
All right. I'm ready to open up these. Thank you, Ms. Dion. I'm ready to open up all of these lines. Mobile Fine Wine, Lauren Clyburn, he is working his Mobile Fine Wine vehicle right now. So, he was not able to tune in for today, but it is a beautiful mobile. It's called Mobile Fine Wine, and they just ride around. They listen to good music, and they sip on wine from all over the world. He'll be on. We'll get him back on another time. And then also, let me see who we have. Okay. I'm going to open up your phone lines. And if you want to shout out your business, you could do so at this moment. Let me see. Okay. All right. Here we go. I have so many. I'm trying to keep up with them. Okay. We got 9448. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, good, good. That's past the O.
Yeah, hey, Pastor O, how you doing?
Amen. Good, good, real good. I enjoyed everything.
Okay. You got a business you want to shout out?
Yeah, Pastor O, PastorGMO.com. All you got to do is go to PastorGMO.com, and you can pick up my books. You can pick up, if you're into racing, I got some race car parts over there that's up for sale. Okay, yeah.
That is PastorGMO.com. Get those books and some race car parts. Good deal. Okay, what you got, 9171? Come on, talk to us.
Good morning, good afternoon. First, giving God the glory for this opportunity and this chance. My business is a body contouring. I run CEO and founder of My Royalty Body 3. You can find me on Instagram. I do body contouring. Let me explain what that is to some people on here are probably like, what is that? Okay, well, I do all non-surgical procedures, as in vacuum therapy, laser lipo, cellulite reduction, butt lift, detox wraps, wood therapy. What I do, it's safer than surgery. A lot of people go for surgery. A lot of people can't afford surgery. With that being said, that is what I do. Any questions, Ms. Claiborne?
Okay. How can they reach you?
They can reach me at 313-212-9701. Also on Instagram, it's My Royalty Body 3.
My Royalty Body 3. Okay. All right. We'll have that on our website for you to, if you want to, get in touch with My Royalty Body 3. And it says vacuum therapy. Okay. Detox wrap. Okay, is this like weight
loss? Laser lipo. Yes. So let me explain. Yes, it is weight loss, but I don't lose pounds. I lose inches. I take inches off their weight. Take inches off their hips. You know, we have people that go to the gym and they work out faithfully and they still don't get the results that they want because we have fat that sometimes that's stubborn and it just won't move. So what I do is I burn that fat, I give you laser lipo, and then I also do skin tightening, and I also do cavitation to build the muscle back in and under the skin. So, you know, most people want that six-pack look, that slim look, that tight waist, that Coca-Cola shape. That's all what I do. And the butt lift is really
something.
I do those also. I also do facelifts.
Wow.
I get the wrinkles from around your eyes, wrinkles around your mouth. Yes, I also do facelifts also.
Wow. Okay, that is My Royalty Body 3. All right. Thank you for sharing. Okay. And then we're going to open up phone lines for anybody that want to talk, that want to ask questions. We got one more here, two more. Okay, 2600. Is that Ms. Cheryl from Lansing?
It sure is. It's your cousin again.
Oh, hello there. Oh, well, hello there.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
So,
how are you? Thank you for...
You're welcome. You're welcome. So I am Cheryl Benjamin, and my business is a travel agency named Time to Travel. So this year we're celebrating 25 years in business. And this whole pandemic caused real havoc for the travel industry. But it gave me an opportunity to regroup and think of new things, which the business needed a refreshing. And so there's 3 points that I just want to make is, one is succession planning, and that's how your business, after you pass away, you want to make sure that your business moves forward or it is properly closed. And all small businesses need an attorney and they need an accountant. It doesn't matter if you don't do your taxes, but you've got to understand how your taxes are done for your business. So, and you want to make sure that you don't commingle your funds with your personal funds. And then lastly is you want to reinvest in your business so that you keep your business fresh. And all counties in Michigan have a small business development center, which allows businesses to do classes. They were virtual during COVID, but for free or next to free to keep your business operational. So the headquarters of the Small Business Development Centers is at Wayne State, but each county has their own. And so I'm just pleased as punch that we're going to be off. Right now I've been doing local theater, but we'll be off and running as far as trips starting in May.
Okay, and that is Time to Travel. And what's your information? You got a website?
Yes, I do, and a Facebook and Instagram page. So TYME, the number 2, TRAVL is my Instagram page, but on my Facebook, it's all spelled out, Time, T-O, Travel.
Good deal. Beautiful. Thanks.
You're welcome.
That information. Good to hear from you, and thank you for the last time you were on with that information with the young people.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Do anybody have any questions for all of the panelists, everybody that was on today? If you have any questions, you can press 1. And, okay, let me see. I'm sorry. I missed you. Okay. Let me open up your mic. 5231 and 2568. Okay. That's you, Keela. Did you have something to say, Ms. Freeman, Keela? Did you have something that you wanted to say? Is that you? Let me see. 2568. Did you have a business you want to shout out? Everybody done fell asleep. Okay, Keela, are you on? Okay, she's somewhere changing a tire or something. Okay, did we get everybody? Did we have anybody that want to ask any questions or let me open up the mics. Okay, everybody's mic is open. Ooh. Okay. All right. So is anybody else that want to have anything to say? Calling once, calling twice. Let me see. Make sure I got everybody. Okay, any questions? Did anybody have any questions for the panelists? Let's
Okay. All right. Pastor Russ, you have something? You want to close us out? Well, I just want to thank everybody for participating. St. Andrew, did we lose you? Okay. Thanks for everything that you talked about with the investment, the real estate, the venture capital. That was very, very interesting. And we're going to get you back on the show again soon. And get you right here in Michigan, Detroit area, where you can we can do a seminar with the youth. I'm just really looking forward to that. Ms. Vandegrift, Jacqueline Vandegrift, thank you for joining us today with your information. You know, one day we could do a seminar as well. We got to get with these young people and get in their face and talk to them about these important issues and things that they need to be aware of, okay? John McFaul, thank you for your input of everything that you brought to the table. Always have something good, and positive to say. Yeah, and Dion Patillo, real good stuff. That was real.
We're going to
have her back on again. Yeah, that's your baby girl. We're going to have her back
on
again.
I know my mic
was open. We're going to have her back on again because that was some good stuff. And thank you for everybody that, you know, brought your business out. Cheryl Ward, Pastor O, and I'm sorry, let me see, 9171, that's the Miss, I'm sorry, let me see, for the Royalty Body 3, okay? Just thank you for participating. It was a great show. I just really, it was so thorough. We could probably go on and on. I did want to mention my brother William Clyburn. He coaches young kids, youth, in basketball. He has a very good program going on. He don't even have to advertise. He wouldn't even come on today because his parents bring people all the time, and it's word of mouth, and they, you know, his program is so good that the parents are, you know, just spread the word through the other parents, and he's doing great things. He's doing great things with those, with the youth, with the basketball camp that he has going on. He don't even have a business card, so I'm going to get him on the ball, though. All right, so. Just thank everybody for participating. Pastor O, go ahead. What you got?
I just wanted to say it was a good show. You know, I enjoyed listening to the venture capitalists. You know, it was, you know, for the first time in my life, I've been messing around, playing around with finances for a long time. But I always heard venture capitalists, never knew how it worked. I don't know if he really knew he was doing it, but he was educating me on something I've been wanting to know. Now the next time I hear somebody say venture capitalist, I know how that works. And so that was awesome. And he made it so plain and easy to understand. Of course, amen, John Mack, you know, amen, the same brother that the father that inspired him is my brother. That inspired me to create a business and run it for 25 years based on what John Mack was talking about. I mean, Kenny, my brother Kenny Joe could talk you out of your next breath and make you glad to give it to him. He was just that customer service oriented, okay? And so I guess it kind of runs in the family. As I was listening to my daughter, she blamed me for her – you know, I'm my daddy's child, but her mother, I was talking to her the other day for 5 minutes for 3 hours, and as I was listening to my daughter, I was like, wow, she got it bad. I talk a lot. Her mama talk a lot. But I guess in the courtroom, it kind of helps out. But anyway, everybody that came on, the folks who shouted out their business, that's good stuff, because we need to know that these things are out there and available to us. And what I get out of it is all these people doing all these different things tells me we can do it. All we have to do is do it. I think one of the callers said that you have to be willing to push, and have that. My daughter talking about the passion, and I know what she went through to get that degree. And she didn't say a whole lot. She went through it and got it done, you know, and she did a whole lot of the work, the financing and everything herself with three kids. And they were teenagers when she moved to North Carolina. So I cannot thank God enough for what he accomplished through her. And she's her faith is real big. She always sending me when somebody asks her to pray, she immediately includes me in it. And, of course, I include everybody else in it. And so she believes heavily in the word of God and, you know, faith, moving mountains because she saw some move. But everything was wonderful. Everything was awesome. All of the callers, all of the information. I was texting with my daughter after she got off, and she wants to come back and talk about specific legal subjects. Different things like that, because, you know, I guess he's found out that we don't know a lot. We don't know a whole lot about that. We get out, the more you don't know, the more it costs you. I found that out early on in business, that the more you don't know costs you. You have to pay for people. When I got into business, I didn't know how to do printing. Sharon Abraham took care of that for us for a while until Reverend James O'Rear taught me how to use a computer. I blew up about three or four of them, but I learned. And then I started doing all our own print work because that stuff was costing us hundreds of dollars. And, you know, that kills your profits. So you have to learn how to do some things and, you know, save some money. So, amen. I just learned a lot. Today was awesome. Thanks for the, doing the show. Thanks for all of the guests who came on the show. Thanks for all the callers who called in, especially my baby girl. Amen. So proud of her.
That's right. Yeah, I can't wait to get her back on. You're right. We have a lot to learn, and I just can't wait till we start putting all these things in action in the community with our youth, block by block, you know, community by community, putting these things in action, bringing people in to talk to them, just informing them and letting them know what's going on, that all the things that they need to know that we don't tell them, so that they could be ready. So when they get out in the world, they won't be surprised, they won't be shocked, you know, or they won't just be hanging out at the house and don't have no plan to get nowhere. We got to give these kids a plan to get lost. I mean, get lost,
you know,
for real, I guess.
You know, Minister Lachelle Anderson with First Fruit Living Ministries, well, she showed me something last year when she did her fundraiser. She put that tent up, and she set them tables up, and then folks just came out. So that we at our church, we have an excellent, that little field right there, it's an excellent place to do something in, you know, to do something in, and plus it's outside.
That's
going to
be a start.
Excellent spot.
That's going to be a start. That's going to be a start, and they're going to see us out there, and we're just going to go in our communities and get these kids out of these houses, out in front of these video games, and we're going to teach them the things that they need to know so they can move forward. I don't know. I just don't like kids hanging around. I want them to be busy and gone off on their way, you know. My brother got two young men overseas playing basketball. One of them is in Russia, and I saw that they're back over on this side of the water. I'm so glad that they, you know, made it back. And got out of there, you know, with that war going on. So, yeah, just thank God for that. And so you have to train these kids and give them something so that they can go, that they can get lost. I'm glad they were gone overseas doing their thing. You know, they're not around here hanging out at the house and wanting to sleep in your basement and wanting, you know, just pull on you every chance they get, you know. So we got to give them what they need so they could get lost. I believe in kids getting lost. I mean, like real lost. I mean, we could go and visit them. We could have somewhere to go. And, you know, I mean, if we don't invest in them, we give them, we don't teach them how to share, we don't teach them how to care, what do you think you have coming, you know, once you get older and you don't have nobody to come and see about you? You know, you put nothing in, you get nothing out. So this is a mission. This is a mission to get our kids busy. And so I'm looking forward to doing all these great things that all of these people and panel have came on doing. Our kids can do all of this. They could do it. But we have to be the ones that, you know, make sure that they could do it. Okay? So that's going to be our mission. Hey. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. Did good timing. Next week, well, this is Black History Month, but we're gonna keep it going because we make history every day, every day. And we have some authors that want to come on. Dominique, she's gonna come on with her book that she's written. Lauren Kleiber is gonna come on with his wine trolley. And a lot of the businesses that's propping up. And like I said, it's our time. It's our time. Okay? Okay. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Anybody have any last thing that they want to shout out or say? You're welcome to at this time. And you're welcome to, you know, at this time to say what you like to say. And other than that, we are going to close out.
Misty, did I leave you guys with my phone number?
Yes, you did.
Did I? Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't leave.
Yes, 313-212-9701.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct?
I also do men, too. For the men listeners, I also do men too. This is just not okay. For women.
Okay, well, we wish you well in your business. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. All right, we'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Take you out.